Blog Talk Radio.
Merle with Merle, and I'm Merle Exit, your co-host. I recently came back from a trip to California, and as a compromise from being ignored, my cat Mallory is the host. Are you happy now, Mallory? She's not answering. She'll just hang around and listen. That's what you get. You know what it is with cats. They own the house and you're just a guest. Well, tonight I have a busy show. If all goes well with the technicalities here. Well, the Langham Huntington Hotel and Spa in Pasadena. I have Chef Lauren talking about the hotel and his terrace restaurant. And, well, drop that oil on my third eye. As Andrea Marino will explain what Ayurvedic spa treatments are all about. Now, tea for two or more, Christine Rillo is a tea maestro from Adagio Teas, and we'll discuss what is tea, difference between tea infusions, and tisane. And then we're going green is more than just saving energy, as Josh Grelick will talk about his cleaning product from Earth Alive. Yes, I've even tried it out. But right before I get to my first interview, I just have to tell you, because I had returned from the Amgen bike tour, and that ended in Pasadena. So it was going from Santa Clarita to Pasadena, where it ended, and there was a they had the magazines, you know, and so I'm looking, and there's all these ads, you know, to buy bicycles and outdoor equipment and things like that. And then there's this ad right there in the middle, cycling accident attorney, avid cyclist for 35 years, specializing in protecting the rights of injured cyclists. Well, if these people didn't know how to ride, I think they shouldn't have entered the tour, but thank goodness. In spite of, yes, the pouring rain at the end, the rain was pouring, and in spite of that, they were cycling their little old asses off anyway. And I forgot the guy's name. It's a guy from Germany who actually won the tour. But right now, I believe I have Chef Lauren on the line.
Yes, you do.
I do.
How are you? I actually got some time, so.
Oh, good. Still in the middle of inventory, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, while I was there, we were saying that the hotel, the name changed.
Yes.
But did anything else change?
Basically, what happened was the name changed. We used to be a Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
And the Ritz-Carlton was basically a management company. So we had a separate owner. But now with Langham, we actually have an owner-operator, which is, it's just as good. Langham basically is all over the world. It's a smaller company that's actually growing like the Ritz. So
okay.
They have the same philosophy, same, you know, quality. And we just try to raise the bar every day, basically.
How do you, I mean, I have to tell you, I was more than pleasantly surprised about some of the things that were there. They were just little intricate things that happened. I had never had such maid service in my life. It was absolutely, it was really amazing. Like every time I came back to the room or the next, you know, after it was clean, I mean, my clothes were folded. I mean, it was, but just every little, you know, they didn't just like clean.
Oh,
you know?
Like the luxury market, it's, you have to go that one extra step.
Yeah, they really like, as if they really paid attention to each of the rooms.
Yeah, we're very, very detail-oriented. It's basically got to be perfect.
They were almost, but I... there was a problem, but I handled it. It was nothing that had to do with me, but I have to say, I was just very surprised, and not necessarily of the workers there. Maybe they didn't see they did it, I'm not sure. But just that, as I was coming into the hotel, there was an area, there's a garbage pail there. And people were dropping things in the garbage, and it was like flowing over. But if it wasn't, what really annoyed me was that, it was just flowing over, and this woman who was staying at the hotel walked over, and she had this, I guess she had lunch in a plastic container or something, and she still insisted on dumping it on the top and things falling on the floor, and she's like, as if you were going to a Motel 6, you know?
There's certain things like that that we're trying to fix. I mean, we are keeping a luxury hotel. The plus about Langham is, though, they want to keep the historical side of this building, too.
Oh, yes.
That's what the neighborhood's raving about. It's great is actually keep the historical part of it.
I love the Japanese garden they had there.
Oh, that's beautiful, yeah.
Just the hotel, it's just so, it's elegant. It's so resort elegant, you know, but it's not commercially, like, looking, you know.
Yeah, no, see, that's what's weird is most hotels are in like, the big city. This is located in a residential area.
Yeah.
Which sometimes surprises a lot of people.
And how long have you been working at the hotel itself?
I've been at the hotel a little over 10 years now.
Wow! And you've been chefing the whole time?
Yes, I was actually a cook for 2.5 years, and then I went into management. So.
Oh, okay. So, like, what is your position as in terms of?
Right now, I am the 3-meal dining or the terrace restaurant chef.
Oh, okay. And. I mean, I have to talk about the restaurant because there was some signature dishes that I had of yours that were just wonderful. One of them, there was a soup. I'm trying to remember the one.
Spicy pumpkin
soup
and butternut squash soup.
Oh yes.
Yes.
That one is
huge. A lot of people. I actually switched that out from a lobster bisque that was really popular. So when I rewrote the menu, I put that one on it. It sold actually twice as much as lobster bisque used to.
Now, you don't have to say it, you know, on the air, but I do want the recipe. You'll email
it. Oh, yeah. I'll send it to you.
There was a slightly, like, sweetness to it that I enjoyed.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit of the pumpkin, some brown sugar, and butternut squash.
Ah, the brown, little brown sugar.
A little brown sugar.
And then I had, the fish.
John Dory, correct?
Yeah, what was it called?
John Dory?
John Dory. Yeah, I had never heard of that. Australia, you said it was from?
It's around Europe, yeah, but Australia is a spot that they have it. It's a firmer textured whitefish. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was nice. That was unfishy, as I would say.
Yeah,
it wasn't,
yeah.
You know.
John Dory's not an extremely fishy fish.
Yeah, and I forgot I had, I think there was a salad. I have a salad.
Did you have the goat cheese?
Yes.
Yeah.
That just
the roasted goat cheese and the arugula salad. Yes.
Yes, that was just a wonderful meal. I just that was good. I can't, when I got home, I let, because of the press trip, I got home and kind of like I didn't want to eat anymore. It was like, oh, I don't know what to make that's going to top anything or be like anything. Right. Let's grow some chicken and whatever together, you know. But in terms of, describe the hotel for everybody rather than my doing it.
Basically, it's a 376-room hotel. It's 100 years old. It's actually in a residential area of Pasadena, California. It's got cottages. It's going to be renovated probably within the next couple of years. I mean, I know they're starting it now. It's needed it. It's got a pool. The spa actually is being renovated now, so it's going to be an all-upgraded spa. The terrace restaurant.
The spa is going to be even better than it is now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Langham has their signature spas, and they're actually unbelievable. So it's a true luxury. Let's see, I guess a lot of people, the hardest thing, I guess, is to find it half the time. But other than that, it's got pretty much everything. We have 30,000 square feet of meeting space, two restaurants, room service, pool bar, pretty much everything you can think of.
One of the things that I didn't really get an opportunity to do, but I'm sure if I had the, if I bothered to with the map, would be it's a great place to walk.
Oh, yeah, because you don't have the downtown road noise and everything else. I mean, it's very, very quiet at night.
No, I mean just around the
around the area? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is quiet. I mean, you don't hear a lot of freeways, traffic. You know, if you really want to get away,
it's
not that.
That's what I missed, the honking. Oh, I also saw the bed. I wanted to take home the bed. Those were so comfortable. Now that's why I have jet lag, because my bed isn't as comfortable. Now I understand.
Could be.
I don't know what I'm going to have to do. Oh, well. I'll have to go back, I guess, huh?
Yeah, why not?
So, all right. Now, I do want to talk about the food. Other than the items I had, what's your favorite things to cook? To prepare?
I honestly love playing. If I can play with, you know, food, we do it. Like our steaks, we just recently our New York steak and our bone-in ribeye, we just changed and went with a brand, B-R-A-N-D-T, brand beef, which is basically 300 out of 365 days, it's corn-fed. You know, so we get to play with food like that. No hormones, California-grown beef. It's all natural. That's the other plus I like about this hotel is we change the menu 3 to 4 times a year. Do anything we want, as long as it's up to standard, up to par. You know, I mean, they don't want mediocrity. But
right.
Other than that, it's really a fair game. If we want foie gras, we do foie gras, caviar, pretty much anything. I'm probably going to change the menu in the next couple months again. So.
How much different is the food? I didn't have an opportunity to eat in the main restaurant. How much does it differ?
Well, there's the dining room, which is the chef up there is Craig Strong, who just got his one Michelin star, which is huge, especially in the United States. That's big. His is
that's better
a little
than,
more.
Is that better than the Zagat survey?
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. It's a European grading system. So.
Oh, okay.
And of course, 3 stars means you're perfect, and they come in about 10 times, and you're not knowing that they're there. So, so that 1 star is big. His food is more on, I guess, I would say the rich flavors, the really really top fine dining. Mine's more of the casual, come in shorts, and you know. But I try to keep still the flavors. You know, good food, simple, and flavorful. That's basically my style. Up there, his is you can go up and have like 7 courses, 6 courses. You know, it's more. He has a Daegu menu that's like a tasting menu.
Right.
And his food is excellent. About a year and a half ago, I think he was one of the 40 top chefs in the United States.
Wow.
So he's. Craig Strong is an extremely talented gentleman. So.
He wasn't on any chef show, huh?
No.
He didn't compete for Top Chef or anything.
No, I don't think he's kind of like me. I'm not into those things. I don't need the world to know about my life. So.
Well, How do you think you would, if you had to compete on Top Chef, do you think
I don't even know. I don't even know.
I mean, that's it's a kind of crazy show, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like Hell's Kitchen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't really happen that way. They're not throwing pots and stuff. But.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
What are some of the other great dishes that you do there?
Well, we have the New York Prime is excellent. We have a Mexican sea bass.
Uh-huh.
I actually do a crab fritter. The fritters are nice.
Uh-huh.
For lunch, I have a shrimp scampi, which sometimes I get back to the original, you know. Let's see. We got plenty of stuff. I have.
Do you? What about desserts? You make your own desserts?
Desserts, our pastry chef actually takes care of that.
Okay. I think I had. What did I have? I think I had the ice creams.
Oh, the sorbets. Yeah, those are all in house. They're made
in house. I love tasting. You know, when restaurants make their own ice creams and sorbets, I like that because it's, you know.
Yeah, his are unbelievable.
You know.
Unbelievable. Every time I can get a spoon, I get a spoon.
That's all you get, huh?
Yeah.
So the plans are just in terms of restaurant, you'll be changing a menu and you'll be...
Yeah, we like to do it 3 to 4 times a year. Plus, a lot of our holidays, we do prefix menus.
Okay.
Which the guests can still choose, but it's a little bit more upscale.
Uh-huh.
So, like, on Valentine's Day, which is pretty much my hardest night of the year, this Valentine's Day we did a 7-course. So they had a little bit of everything.
Great.
That's with choices, too. So it's
all right, so everybody, it's the Langham, Langham, the Langham Huntington Hotel and Spa. And I have a feeling now I have my spa person that's called in. So I'm going to let you go back to inventory.
Thank you, Mel.
Okay.
You have a wonderful
and
day.
Hopefully I'll see you back there again.
Will do.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, am I right?
You are right.
Andrew?
Yes. Good evening, Meryl. Nice
Hiya.
To talk to you.
How you doing?
I'm great.
We had just mentioned the spa, but we didn't really get into it. I was very surprised. He said the spa was going to be upgraded, and I went, it is? I mean, it was I was already, totally impressed the way it was.
It's a beautiful spa, and yes, there's going to be lots of changes coming up for this year. But the spa has been up and running since 1997.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful property, so we were glad to have you.
it was quite interesting. What I want you to tell everybody, all my listeners out there.
Okay.
What is Ayurvedics?
Well, Ayurvedic is an ancient medical system from India. It is about 5,000 years old, and it's really been catching on in the United States, probably I would say more in the last 6 or 7 years. And with Ayurveda, they believe that you can be of 3 different doshas. It's usually like a body personality type. And we treat you accordingly. So we did your treatment, which was the Bindi, and you were a Pitta, which is ruled by fire. So
you think so.
yes.
It certainly, I feel like it all the time.
Right.
So how does that make a difference on, the way I was explaining it to people, and I wasn't actually clear on what you were doing, but it felt like you were doing a constant process of exfoliating and massaging. Am I right or no?
Yes. The treatment that I did on you was called the Bindi treatment.
Yes.
And what I did was put herbs all over the body, and the herbs have really great things in them like milk powder, cardamom, valerian, which are very common and calming to pittas. And the herbs dried. I dried brushed them off your body, and we did a full body massage with the pitta oil, which is very calming and soothing. And then I did different marma points on your face, which are pressing down on different parts of the face, and that helps in mental clarity and also kind of just very soothing and helps with the sinuses as well. So there were a number of things going on during that treatment.
That was one of the best massages I've had.
Yeah, it's a really relaxing treatment. It's a great treatment for anyone, really. It's very great for the skin, and it is very, very soothing.
So, in other words, once you determine, you know, let's say I'm a pitta. Okay.
You're a pitta.
A pitta, as opposed to pitty.
Right.
You got to keep remembering that. Then you're deciding on what oils to use, or?
Yes. Since you are pitta, they generally tend to be the high energy of the three, very mentally constantly stimulated, and it takes a while for them to calm down. So with the pitta oil, it has a lot of jasmine, ylang ylang, and rose, which is very good for pittas. It helps them to wind down and not think so much, because you're thinkers. You're the movers and the shakers and kind of the type A's of the three dashas. So.
And so that's the oils, like, and the massage oils that you use.
Yes. Yes.
And the herbs that you were saying that you first put on, did that make a difference too?
Yeah, they're great for softening the skin, also soothing, cooling, detoxifying. And when we dry brush them off, they really help with the lymph system and to break up cellulite on the body as well. So they do a lot of good things.
I have to tell you that afterwards I went to dinner, and I was on this press trip. And we were sitting there having dinner. There were like two other people, plus somebody from tourism. And all of a sudden, one of them said, "Girl, you're so quiet. What's the matter?" I said, "Nothing. Can't talk. Can't move. I'm so relaxed."
Well, that's a really good thing. It did help you a lot. I'm glad.
I wasn't even thinking. I enjoyed the meal.
That's wonderful.
So that was, yeah. So now, also I understand that there's, there's a diet that you should have that...
Yes, with pittas, particularly since they are ruled by fire, they're the first ones to kind of overheat when they drink red wine or eat spicy food. And they tend to...
I don't do either, by the way.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. But they should focus more on vegetables and things that are cooling to them, yogurt, chicken, turkey, basmati rice, sweet fruits like apples, figs, and mangoes, but nothing too spicy and overheating.
Okay.
And the different dashas have different foods that they can eat and that are suggested for them.
Yeah, good. I just noticed vegetables, it says mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'm very happy because this a company, a Gourmet Mushrooms, I think, emailed me. I'm going to a food show next week, international food show, and then I was looking at the mushrooms, and I love mushrooms.
Oh, that'll
but these were not... the common kind of thing.
Right.
You know, so I was really pleased to notice that because I know that for instance, like, I'm told that I shouldn't have, like, those regular white typical mushrooms.
Right.
For whatever reason, but I can have all these gourmet mushrooms, and I'm thrilled that I can go to this international food show to, you know, check out all these things. And, well, I'm sorry to say, everybody, I can, you can't. Nah, 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 nah. But I'll get back to everybody to let everybody know what kind of foods. Now, tell me a little more about the spa. What does the spa have? What facilities are there?
The spa has many great treatments. We have other Ayurvedic treatments as well as the one I did on you.
Uh-huh.
We have the Shiradhara, which there's warm oil dripped into the scalp and over the third eye. We have...
What's that about?
That is kind of a complement treatment to the Bindi. The Bindi is a little more exfoliating and invigorating, whereas the Shiradhara is really, really calming. Uh-huh. There's warm oil that drips down onto the scalp. There's a full body massage. And then we have the Nirvana, which is a combination of the Bindi that I gave you and the Shiradhara for total bliss. I mean, you'll really be a vegetable after that treatment. You won't talk at all after that treatment.
So, I mean, would I have, like, felt a difference if the, you know, the oils would drop to my third eye?
Yes, it's good for total calmness and also mental clarity as well. So you'll have to try that treatment the next time you come in.
Okay. For everybody who doesn't know why that is, the third eye is a chakra.
It is a chakra.
Yeah, and that's a chakra that's for what?
It's good for spirituality. It is kind of where your psychic intuition is held.
Wow, okay.
And this treatment definitely helps to kind of activate that to a certain degree.
And I guess that if you defined it, if you like take the palm of your hand and put it in the middle of your forehead, you should feel a little bit of a heat spot, correct?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to describe it.
Because I know you can do that on the top of your head.
Right.
If you kind of don't not really touch your head, but put it like slightly, you know, back and forth slowly, you can suddenly feel one particular spot on the top of your head that where you get the heat from.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So and back to the other spa facilities. Yeah.
Yes, we have wonderful facials. We have different body treatments. We have a salt glow. We have a full gym. We have wonderful facilities for ladies and men, including steam, sauna, and dry heat. And we just have a beautiful spa. It's a wonderful place to be.
And particular products that you use there?
Well, the products that I used on you are from the line called Tara, and they're really dedicated to Ayurveda. They make very pure organic products. So when they say there's, you know, valerian and sandalwood, it's the pure valerian and sandalwood.
And it's called Tara?
It's called Tara.
Spell that?
Tara.
Oh, Tara. Okay.
Uh-huh. Tara. And
okay.
They're a really wonderful line.
Oh, okay. I saw a whole, you know, lines of products there.
Right.
At the spa.
We have many different products, but I highly recommend the Tara for any kind of body treatments you may get.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So if you're staying at the hotel, then you automatically have use of...
Yes, you can use the gym. You can come in, even if you're not getting a treatment at the spa,
right,
and use the steam room, work out a little bit, walk the grounds, which are really beautiful. We have a Japanese garden, a horseshoe garden with native plantings, and a beautiful picture bridge that has different scenes of California from the early days. It's a really great property. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I got a glimpse of the Japanese garden, but a glimpse only because I was,
right,
I was so busy with everything else. I totally forgot about that.
Right.
By the way, with the upgrading of the spa, or is there going to be? Do you know if they plan to have a tunnel or something that will lead you from the hotel to the spa?
I don't know, maybe. I wish I could answer that, but that's an interesting idea.
That would be nice, you know.
It would.
Because depending upon, you know, the weather, it would be nice to go right from the...
Right.
But if it's a nice day, it perks you up anyway.
Exactly.
To go outside. the whole experience was absolutely great. I really appreciated having this treatment done, you know, my body appreciated it, and I was able to speak a bit. Nothing, as a comedian, like nothing stops me. But
right.
But well, yes, it's the Langham Huntington Hotel and Spa in Pasadena. And if you want to get any, if anybody wants to get any information, I suppose if they go to langhamhotels.com and you get information on both the hotel, the spa, the treatments that are offered there, and heavens knows what. And I would say that's the place to stay in Pasadena.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you for coming, and, you know, it was really great to work on you.
Thanks. have a good evening. Oh, right. It's only like 4:30 your time, right?
Yeah, it's not even dinner time here yet.
Oh, okay. I'm ready to go to sleep over here. No, not quite. Well, thank you so much, Andrea, for calling in.
All right. Thank you, Meryl.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're going to break for the first commercial here.
This program is brought to you by M&S Italian Food Specialists, the official caterers for the crew of Lydia's Family Table, which can be seen on PBS. M&S is located at 34-23 Francis Lewis Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. There, you'll find over 100 different types of cheeses, store-made sausages, fresh meats, as well as great salads and sandwiches. Choose fully cooked items from the deli area, or just tell Joe what you're interested in preparing. M&S carries a full line of imported groceries for all your cooking needs. Call them at 718-353-8318. A family business for over 50 years.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Oh, yes. Those brownies are really great, I have to tell you. And you can, by the way, you can get them at, if you go to www.brownies.com. And I'm waiting for my call in about the, regarding the tea right now. In the meantime, I get emails from people, and they send me jokes and stuff like that. And here was one that I that I recently got that I'd like to read to you, entitled The Plan. In the beginning was the plan, and then came the assumptions. And the assumptions were without form, and the plan was without substance. And darkness was upon the face of the workers, and they spoke among themselves, saying, "It is a crock of shit, and it sinketh." And the workers went unto their supervisors and said, "It is a pail of dung, and none may abide the order thereof." And the supervisors went unto their managers, saying, "It is a container of excrement, and it is very strong, such that none may abide by it." And the managers went to the directors, saying, "It is a vessel of fertilizer, and none may abide its strength." And the directors spoke amongst themselves, saying one to another, "It contains that which aids plant growth, and it is very strong." And the directors then went unto the vice presidents, saying unto them, "It promotes growth, and it is very powerful." And the vice presidents went unto the president, saying unto him, "This new plan will actively promote the growth and vigor of the company with powerful effects." And the president looked upon the plan and saw that it was good. And the plan became policy. This is how shit happens. Well, we're still waiting for my caller to call in about the teas. So let me first talk to you about This is Adagio Teats. Now, what we're going to be discussing is that, I'm a great tea drinker, and, well, lo and behold, I have Christine calling in, and she can tell us all about the tea now. Now, I don't have to say anything. Christine.
Hi, how are you, Meryl?
Okay. I was just going to talk a little bit about the teas. Now you can. Tell first, what I want to discuss is what's the difference, you know, what is tea, what are tea infusions, and what is tisane? So,
okay. Well, tea is basically any sort of mixture that comes from the Camellia sinensis plant. And you'll hear of herbal tisanes being used, and herbal tisanes aren't really true teas. I mean, they're referred to as teas because they are steeped in water at a certain temperature and in the bag form or loose leaf. But tisanes are really not true teas because they're not from that Camellia sinensis plant. So tisanes are made out of dried fruits, dried herbs, spices, all sorts of things, but no leaves from the Camellia sinensis tea plant.
So now, what I'd like to get into is that what is the differences with the teas? What's the difference between black tea and oolong and green, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay. Well, black tea, and I mean, they all come from the same plant, the Camellia sinensis plant. But black tea, oolong tea, green tea, white tea, et cetera, they're all processed differently and picked differently and grown in different, like, even the different climates in which the tea plant is grown will affect the kind of tea leaf plant you'll get. So let's say a white tea, those are picked from the very young buds of the tea plant. So only a couple months after it's, you know, ready for harvest, they're already picked, they're dried, and that's it. Whereas a black tea plant, black tea will be picked at a later stage of harvest and dried and rolled and all sorts of processing. You know, you have different kinds of black tea, such as a CTC grade, which is cut, tear, curl. So in like cheaper tea bags, you'll see that really kind of fine dust, ground up kind of bits of tea. Well, that's the same kind of black tea, but grounded up, yeah. Better quality black tea will have the whole leaf and whatnot.
Now, would you say that black tea is the strongest?
Yes, I would say black tea is the strongest, usually in taste and in caffeine content.
Okay.
Black tea per serving usually has about 40 to 50 milligrams of caffeine, which is less than coffee and soda and all that other stuff, but the most out of all teas.
Now, then going down the line, is oolong tea like the second strongest?
Oolong tea is.
And what is and exactly what is makes it called a oolong tea?
Oolong tea.
How does that differ?
Oolong tea is kind of like the in between black and green teas, because depending on how the oolong is processed, it can resemble a black tea. And, you know, it's darker, the taste, you know, is similar to a black tea, a little bit stronger in taste and higher caffeine quantities. Or it could resemble, with light processing and different kind of processing, it could resemble a green tea that it's greener in color, less, you know, a little bit more vegetal and in taste and lower in caffeine. But, you know, it's the caffeine content in oolong is kind of the range between 30 to 40, and it's most oolongs are from Taiwan and are referred to as Formosa tea after the old colonial name for Taiwan.
Okay, then I think next down the line, I guess then comes green tea.
Green tea is probably less processed than black and oolong, obviously. There's a lot of steamed green tea varieties from Japan, And there's also green teas from China. And these have green tea about per serving has 20 milligrams of caffeine. And usually we're green teas, and I should say this, green teas and white teas, you want to use a lower temperature when making your tea. Because if you make it with boiling water, like you would for black teas or herbal tisanes, it will make the tea become bitter in taste.
You'll
ruin the leaf. So you always want to use a slightly, you know, cooler temperature, not where it's boiling, but when steam's coming off the water, that's usually
okay.
Good.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, how can you tell? Yeah, okay. So steam coming off the water is pretty much what you would use then.
Yes.
Okay. I was trying
to figure out.
Indicator
if you don't have a thermometer with you.
Yeah, because I noticed like on some of the and the directions saying, you know, cooler water, and I'm going, I don't know what cooler water means, you know.
Yeah, when I first started drinking gourmet tea, I saw that and I would put a tea bag or some loose leaf tea, which I had in a paper filter, and a cup of cold water, and then I was like, oh, what's supposed to happen? And then I realized that I meant just a cooler temperature, slightly cooler than boiling, which made a better cup, of course.
Now, what's this whole big deal regarding green tea? All right, let's first then get this. So and then the white tea, that's down the line, and that's like the...
Those are the young buds of the. Those are picked very early in the harvest of the tea plant, and they're very. Some are very fuzzy. They have these little like silky hair like kind of fuzziness to the tea leaf, which is totally natural. And those are very low in caffeine since it's picked at such a young stage, and it's a very subtle taste. Like I'm not a huge fan of white tea unless it's. You know, sitting in my cup for a while because I do like a slight stronger cup of tea. But white tea will have a very subtle, very light taste to it. You know, it's very exquisite. It's coming more in the market as tea is coming more into the mainstream. It's kind of touted as like a gourmet tea because it's very expensive because you're buying it at such a, you know, it's very rare to get it at that young stage when it's picked.
Now, is there... Because I noticed things like they're called white tea, but they call like, is there a difference like white needle or white, you know, I'm not sure. I forgot what the particular one that you...
Well, among the different tea varieties, so among your black teas, your oolong teas, your green teas, and your white teas, there are different varieties within those.
And that's on purpose.
So, yeah, it's depending on how they're... process, you know, like a silver needle will have the appearance of like kind of silver spindle-like leaves, whereas like a white peony will be more leafier and have a different taste. And these different tastes and different textures of each tea is usually, it just happens when, depending on how it's picked, where it's picked, the climate of what the tea plant is and and, you know, any other steps that they use when they dry out the tea leaves.
Okay. So now what I also want to get is now, then you have things like people will say, oh, I want Earl Grey tea.
Uh-huh.
So what is Earl Grey tea?
Earl Grey tea is a black tea, and it's usually made out of Ceylon leaves, a very kind of subtle, Ceylon is one of the most common tea varieties worldwide. If you buy any sort of bottled beverage, even if it's like one of those, you buy iced tea at the convenience store or wherever, and it's very sweet. It's like mostly sugar more than tea. Even though it's all sugary, it's the tea base is usually made from a Ceylon tea leaf.
Oh, so no.
And there, it's a very subtle taste, you know. So if you're kind of a beginner into tea, I always recommend trying out a Ceylon tea. Most like common, you know. Brands that we grew up with, like Lipton and Tetley, their regular black tea is a low grade of Ceylon, but it's Ceylon nonetheless. You know, it's only crumbled up into little bits and dust.
Yeah, I can't drink that tea.
Oh, because, no, you shouldn't.
because I associate that tea with I'm sick.
Yeah.
And I had it, and then you had to shove in... The honey and the lemon, just so I can deal with the tea.
Yes.
And now when I drink tea, I don't use any sugar in the tea.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar. Yeah.
I rarely sweeten my tea now.
And how about what is
jasmine? Oh, back to the Earl Grey.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Earl Grey is, so it's made out of a black tea base of Ceylon leaves. And Earl Grey is commonly, it's just those black tea leaves scented with a bergamot oil. So it has that very, you know, that very perfumey kind of smell.
Okay.
And taste, and sometimes orange peels added. But it's such a common blend that many tea companies made. I believe, I don't remember which company is the first one to come up with Earl Grey. I think it might be Twinings, but, you know, they came up with the blend, and it's just very common that a lot of different companies will feature their own take on Earl Grey. But Earl Grey is usually just the Ceylon leaves and flavored with the bergamot oil.
Now, why is green tea such a big deal these days?
Green tea is getting a lot of press, I think, in the news and whatnot because of its, quote, health benefits, but you really get a lot of health benefits with any tea that you drink, with the exception of tisanes, because they're not true teas. Tisanes aren't true teas. They're just the dried fruit and herb and spices and whatnot. But as long as you drink any kind of tea, black, green, oolong, white, you know, you're getting about the same amount of antioxidants and vitamins and all that good stuff. But a lot of people tote green and maybe even white teas in the news nowadays as having a lot of health benefits is because it's not as high in caffeine as black teas. And usually when you associate drinking a black tea, you have to add sugar and milk and all that stuff,
right,
which kind of adds these, you know, extra calories that you don't really need. Whereas with green tea, you don't drink it with a lot of, you know, I never put anything in my green tea, you know, not even honey, nothing, you know, just drink the green tea plain. And, you know, that's really, like, it's been connected with the weight loss. But, you know, if you drink tea as a replacement of other stuff like coffee or sodas or energy drinks or fruit juice, you know, tea is calorie-free as long as you don't put anything with it. And, you know, it's a great drink to have throughout the day, you know, as long as, you know, if you're very sensitive to caffeine, I wouldn't suggest having a ton of black tea throughout the day, but, you know, you could start with a black tea in the morning, do an oolong or a green during the day, and then maybe before you go to bed, have an herbal blend or a white tea even, you know. So as long as you're drinking tea, I think you're making a very healthy choice.
So I am, because I understand that I've gotten some emails from friends about that when you're eating, you should be drinking a hot beverage,
uh-huh,
as it, because otherwise the whatever oils or that are, you know, or fat is just hardening up,
mm-hmm,
and at least the tea, or, you know, preferably tea, they say,
uh-huh,
because, like, you know, the coffee, you're getting the caffeine, et cetera, or, you know, whatever you're getting from coffee. But if you're having, like, the tea, it kind of washes it.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that, but I mean, I always drink something with my with my meal, just so I get a little, like, I feel like tea also helps in weight loss and, you know, health benefits and stuff, because it does help curb your appetite, because you are filling up with you're filling yourself up also with a beverage, but it's not just water, you know, it has some flavor, has some complexity to it. So, you know, and even flavored teas usually have very little calories, you know. So instead of having, like, a cupcake, I would have, like, a vanilla-flavored tea or vanilla rooibos tea and, you know, kind of get my fill that way.
Okay. So I assume that infusions are, mm-hmm, like a combination of, like, tea and tisane, I guess, right?
So yeah, like, well, infusion really refers to the steeping.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, your first infusion would be, you know, with the tea in the water. That's an infusion, and how long you let it steep. And some teas are great for reinfusing. So, if you, like, oolong teas, even if I'm using, if I've steeped it for the amount of time, usually 5 minutes, you know, at a cooler temperature, is where I steep my favorite oolong. After I drink that cup, I can get another cup by just pouring some more hot water into it. And many, you know, Asian countries such as China and Japan, that's how they drink their tea. They just constantly are pouring new, fresh, hot water over the tea leaves and getting second, third, fourth, even fifth infusions from that one thing of tea leaves. So it's kind of like a way to save, you know, your tea leaves, so you're not going through so many ounces of loose leaf or so many tea bags throughout a day, you know. So that's what infusion refers to, just the cycle of you steeping that tea.
When we're getting to, like, herbal teas now, mm-hmm. which is, in other words, that's what tisane is, an herbal tea,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that rooibos is a big deal, that it has, I was told it has more antioxidants than blueberries.
Yeah, rooibos has been known to have a lot of antioxidants, and another great thing about it, it's also caffeine-free. So you can enjoy that, you know, antioxidant boost of a really good drink and not have to worry about any caffeine. And it's kind of like the taste, some people find it too medicinal, but I think it's great, especially if it's flavored a little bit with a little vanilla or almond. And, you know, it kind of it's closer to a tea taste than, let's say, an herbal tisane of, like a fruit tisane.
Right, yeah.
Which might have, like, you know, dried orange pieces, apple pieces, berry pieces. That's going to just taste like fruit. But rooibos, you know, kind of has that slight, you know, tannic kind of taste to it,
right.
even though it's not very, tannic in content. And it does have all the great antioxidants, and it is caffeine-free.
Yeah, one of the things I had noticed about using rooibos tea is that it could steep for half an hour, and it won't get that.
Yeah, it won't get bitter.
Yeah.
A lot of herbal tisanes, the beauty of them, because they're not made of that tea plant, which, you know, can get bitter if you oversteep it, since it's all just dried fruit, herbs, spices, whatever, you know, usually if you leave it out and you have it steeping there, it's not going to grow bitter. I mean, with some fruit blends, I find that, you know, it'll get a little too sweet, you know, a little too strong. But rooibos, usually, I can leave my bag in there if I have it in a tea bag or in a peeper filter. I could leave it in there and, you know, sip away and not have to worry about taking it out. Rooibos is also good for a second infusion, you know, if you just infuse it for maybe 5 minutes, and then on your next cup you infuse for a little, like, 8 minutes. Yeah.
Right.
Just keep on adding some more time, and you get plenty more cups from that one bag or, you know, one batch of loose leaf that you put in.
Yeah. Two of the interesting things I had, I'm sure there were more, but two interesting things with the Adagio teas. One
uh-huh.
of them was this Ingenuity tea.
Yes.
That's a hoot. I mean, like, you know, it's interesting because it's this, like, it's portable. It's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, it's this is portable thing. I'll let you explain it.
Okay. Our Ingenuity teapot is... I would feel safe to say is our most popular item on our website. And, you know, when you think of a teapot, you think of traditionally either a metal or iron one, you know, used in, like, China, a ceramic one, you know, very kind of prim and proper with a little infuser inside the teapot. But our Ingenuity is made out of plastic, and it's a very unique design in which you put the water into the teapot, into Ingenuity, and you could either heat it up in the microwave because of the plastic design, or you can use a separate tea kettle and add the hot water into the teapot, and then you put the tea leaves in there, and you let it steep, and instead of kind of pouring it out, I'm trying to describe it as best I can since we don't have visuals, but instead of pouring it out, you place it on top of your mug, and it'll drain out the bottom, and it'll leave all your used tea leaves in the Ingenuity, in the teapot part, and you can dump out those tea leaves or use it again if you're using a second infusion. But it's cool because it comes out the bottom, and if you have a clear mug, that's really fun to see it fill up with the liquid. And it is clear, so you kind of see the color that your tea is turning into as it steeps, and it's very portable. I have one at home. If I go on trips to see a friend, I'll usually bring one with me. You know, you don't have to worry about it breaking because it's made out of this really durable plastic. replacement filters are really easy to get from us, and it's dishwasher.
Oh, it does. It has a replacement filter.
Safe.
It has a replacement.
I'm sorry.
You said it has a replacement filter.
Yeah, if you know, usually some people find that like after if you use it very much, you know, after a year or two, you might want to replace your filter, you know, because it'll get a little, you know, dirty because of the tea leaves and, you know, or if they lose it, because I've had a lot of stories of customers who, you know, they go to dump out their tea leaves and accidentally, you know, the filter pops out and falls into the trash can, and then when they go to make tea, they're like, oh no, where's my filter? And then they realize that they've accidentally thrown it out, so... You know, that's the only reason why we have the replacement filter. But it's such a portable device. It's really popular among a lot of people in college because you can keep it in the dorm. You know, you don't have to worry about it, someone making fun of you because you have this kind of prissy little teapot. It's a little modern. It's a little hip, you know. And you could use it in your microwave because many, you know, dorms, they don't usually have a stovetop range, or they might not let you bring in like a tea kettle due to like fire code, but you can heat up the water in your microwave, which, you know, there's usually a microwave in each dorm room. And a lot of people who work in offices like using it because they can keep it in their desk drawer. You know, it's very small. You know, we do have the 16 ounce and which makes 2 cups, and then we have the 32 ounce, which makes 4 cups. And we also call that one our ice ingenuity. So it's perfect if you're making a big batch of iced tea. You can use that big one to kind of, you know, if you're making like a gallon of iced tea, use that to make your tea base and then, you know, add equal amounts of cold water, ice, and yeah. So Ingenuities,
yeah.
We have it in a starter set. We sell it by itself. It's very popular, like a lot of people. And whenever I give it as a gift, they're like, oh, this is kind of neat, and they kind of don't know how it works. But then when they figure it out, they're like, ooh, this is great, you know, it's fun. It puts a little bit more fun into tea.
How do you remove the filter?
You could just pull it out.
From inside?
Yeah, from inside.
Okay. I didn't even know there was a filter.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's there, and, you know,
you
don't need to
pull it out and clean it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's not like... Okay, so it's not like a filter. Once you like pull it out, then you have to put a new one in. I mean,
yeah, no, it's not like that. Yeah, it's just,
oh, okay.
It's like the plastic filter, yeah, and you just pop it out, clean it, you know, rinse it off or whatever,
oh,
and then
cool.
You can pop it right back in.
Mm-hmm. Ah, good. I've learned something new. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about is the teas that blossom.
Oh yeah, our blooming teas.
Whoa! I mean. Explain what I don't understand them. What are they in? Like
they're in. Well, each tea blossom is handmade, and it's basically like if you think of like regular tea leaves, kind of. I mean, it might be regular tea leaves before they're dried.
Yeah.
They're kind of flattened out, so they are a little bit more pliable. And then these women, artisan, you know, crafters and whatnot, will hand tie these tea leaves together into like a bundle, and then inside they'll place a flower, and then we'll bundle, I guess, the tea leaves over it, and then it will dry, and then that acts like, you know, you don't need an infuser for that because you want to see it bloom, so you can just plop one into your mug, and we have a lot of, most of our glassware is clear, so those are really good.
Oh, yeah, I got that cup. Yeah, the cup.
Yeah, you
yes.
Put the bloom in there, and then you put the hot water in, and you can watch it, unfurl, and since, you know, because it's dried into this position. So, you know, it's individually wrapped. You unwrap it, you put it in your cup, and then when you add the water, it'll help, you know, steep the leaves, and the leaves will slowly unravel to reveal a flower. And they're really
that's
pretty.
That's very, is this, did Adagio make these up, or is this a...
I don't think we're the first ones to use them, but
I
mean, that'd be kind of cool if
we
were, but... I mean, I think they've been made in China and, you know, for several, you know, centuries and stuff. It's a very renowned art, you know, form to make these tiny little tea buds, so.
Yeah, they are. It's
I mean, it's something you can't really do on your own either. You
know,
you can't take
a
bunch of tea leaves and be like, I'm going to make some buds, but, you know. So that's why they're so, you know, they make such great, like, I've always suggested it to people if they're having, like, tea parties for weddings or bridal showers, kind of, you know, it's very feminine, it's very, you know, fun. But, like, even I know my one friend, her boyfriend, he saw one of those tea blossoms unfurl, and he was just, like, captivated. He was like, wow, you know, this is great. So, I mean, they're for everyone. I think you know, they make a great gift, and they're just fun to watch, too, I think, you know, especially if you have a nice teapot that's clear or glass cup, you know, you just watch them unfurl. And then most of the ones that we offer are made with a slightly, you know, the tea leaf is a little bit, subtler in taste, so as they unfurl, it's steeping at the same time, right? But it won't grow bitter, so you could kind of keep the flour in there and add a little bit more hot water, you know. You might have to remove it after a couple times, you know, after unfurled and you're really nursing your cup of tea, because then it might get a little bitter. But most of the time, you know, you could just keep on adding a little bit more hot water and keep the flour in there. You know, it both works as function and, you know, as a festive kind of thing, because, you know, you're decorating each cup with a bloom,
sure.
And, you know, you're drinking some tea that comes out of it.
That's a great idea for when whether restaurants or hotels, when they have an afternoon tea.
Yes.
I mean, that makes it a lot more elegant.
Yeah, it really kind of just gives a little something to, you know. Like, those are, like, my mainstays for entertaining. If I have anyone over my house and we're going to have tea, we'll have a regular pot of tea. But I usually kind of unload those, and everyone is like, wow, you know. Everyone gets really excited about them.
I'm just curious, with those particular teas, I mean, would you recommend any particular type of sandwich, finger sandwich, that would go well?
Sandwich with any kind of tea or the blooming
teas? Well, those blooming teas, because, if somebody wants to do an elegant, you know.
Elegant tea party.
Yeah.
I would suggest, I had a tea party a couple months ago, and I had chicken Waldorf salad sandwiches, and then I made open-face, quote, Austrian sandwiches. This is from my mom's recipe. And they're basically kind of like a cream cheese spread, you know, and you mix some chives and parsley with the cream cheese and butter, and you put it on a nice, you know, slice of baguette, and then you put strawberries and maybe a little ham on them. And what else did I have? I had cucumber mint sandwiches, which are always tasty, which is, again, the butter and cream cheese kind of mixture with parsley and mint in this case, and then I put little, you know, tiny slivers of cucumbers. I find that Tea Time magazine always has really great recipes for a lot of fun hors d'oeuvres and sandwiches. So if you're looking for something, I always suggest checking out their website, because that's kind of like their specialty.
And your website is adagiotea.com, plural.
You can just do adagio.com, yep.
Oh, just Adagio?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's www.adagio.com.
Yep.
And I just want to let everybody know that you also, there is a guide to tea.
That you can get with any starter set or gift set. It's included with the price. And it's written by an ex-Adagio team member, Chris Kaysen. And it's great for someone who's just learning about tea. So if you're giving, you know, if you want to give the gift of tea, I always recommend, you know, when customers ask, I always recommend the starter set, because you can get, you know, the teapot or the piece of teaware that, you know, is there so they can get ready to make some tea. It comes with 4 samples of tea, which are each sample is enough, you know, to make about 8 to 10 cups. And then it comes to the guide to tea book, and it has a lot of history and information and how to make tea. And, you know, little tidbits about tea that makes it, you know, it's a good, easy read, and you learn a lot from it.
Great. Well, thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Meryl, for having me.
Yes, this was quite informing, I hope, that both to me, and I hope everybody else. And, again, it's www.adagio, that's adagio.com.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Christine, I don't know where you're in New Jersey, so
yeah, I'm right in New Jersey.
So. You're on my time, okay? So have a great evening.
You too, Meryl.
And speaking of green, you're going to hear that my caller is talking about green in terms of product to use, and it's not tea though. So have a good evening, Christine, and thank you
tomorrow.
Very much.
No problem. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, and let me go to a quick commercial.
As a dad, you'll probably spend years teaching your son how to hit a baseball, how to throw a tight spiral and hit a receiver, how to spring off a diving board and hit the water, how to hit a one wood and a nine iron, how to hit the bullseye, how to hit the strike zone, hit a jump shot, hit the open man, hit the hockey net, and maybe the most challenging of all, how to hit the books. But the question is this: how much time will you spend teaching him what not to hit? Teach your son early and often that all violence against women is wrong. For tips on what to say, visit endabuse.org. Brought to you by the Family Violence Prevention Fund, the Waite Institute for Violence Prevention, the Ad Council, and this station.
Well, it looks like I have Josh calling in, and we're going to talk about it from Earth Alive. Yes, it's a fabulous cleaner. I did try it, Josh.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
Yeah. I really have something I really have to, like, do a couple of times. It's that much caked on. But I have to tell you, the first layer off is fine. It's interesting of how, and I was doing something with my cupboard, and it's like how, the first time, the feel. Oh, ooh, it feels nice.
Feels nice, huh?
Yeah. Tell us about what this cleaner is.
Well, first of all, the company, again, is Earth Alive, and you can visit our website at earthalive.ca. The cleaner is actually, it's a very interesting technology. We're working with something completely different. Most companies and most chemical products are liquid. Our products are all powder-based. It's basically a blend of tree bark with added microbial technology. And basically what the tree bark is a surfactant that's going to do your everyday cleaning, and you have microbes, which are basically little microbes that are going to eat away at anything that's organic matter, stuff like urine crystals, grout lines, slippery floors, all that kind of stuff like that. And it's really an amazing product that, the microbes will work over time and break down anything that's still there in organic matter, and it just gives you an amazing clean. It's a pH-neutral product. It's for people who don't know what pH-neutral is, it's 7, which is across the board. I mean, it goes anywhere between 1, which is a battery acid type of product, and 14 is a very high alkaline product. So ours is right in the middle of 7. You can't get any better than that. And we replace anything from a 0 pH to a 14 pH. So it really is an amazing cleaner. It works fabulous. You're using... It's a powder product, and you're going to be adding cold water to it, which is going to eliminate, over time, carbon imprint. You're not heating any water anymore. Using regular tap water, you're just going to shake it up and go. So that's pretty much the product in a nutshell, if you would say.
Now, why does it clean, by the way? What's in it? I mean, and... when you're talking about cleaning, what is it, what is the chemical thing itself that cleans something?
Well, we actually don't classify ourselves as a cleaning product, a chemical, okay? We're actually classified as a cleaning solution because there are no chemicals in our product.
Well, what I'm asking is normally when you're cleaning something, what is in a... let's say I'm washing the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
What's in there that's cleaning the dish? Why does it remove, let's say, the oil or whatever, the grease?
It depends on how the product is made. Depends if it's an alkaline product or an acidic product. A lot of companies nowadays are using something called enzymes. that break down fats and oils. They're similar to our product, but completely different in the same sense. Without getting too technical, I don't want to get too technical here because our product is a little technical. Basically, other products are just using traditional chemicals nowadays to clean and break down greases and fats. So that's pretty much the gist of it.
Okay. And, okay, so let's just say, for instance, now, now I have it and I have like a little, I guess like, I would say like if when you get a tea, when you buy tea and it has about that size of a bag, I guess.
Yeah. You're talking about my product.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it comes in a little, we call it a sachet.
Okay. And I'm mixing that in the, plastic.
Well, basically, what we sent you, is something we call a sample kit. Where we're right now, we're more focused on the food service and hospitality areas of the market. Right now, we don't sell retail currently.
Mm-hmm.
However, we won't turn anyone away. If someone does come to our website, call us up. We'll be more than happy to sell you some product. So basically what we sent you is a little sample kit with a jar of product in there as well, right?
No.
No, okay. So there was probably maybe four or five of these little sachets?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically what you're going to do is you're going to take that little sachet and you're going to tear it open. Again, it's all made from recycled paper, and you're going to take that paper and recycle it as well. And you're just going to add it to the spray bottle. You're going to put it in, and you're going to fill that up with regular, normal tap water. Not hot. You're just going to turn on your tap water on the cold side and fill it up, shake it up. It dissolves no problem in the water, and it's ready to go. And you can use it on all your surfaces. Works on granite, leather, vinyl, stainless steel, windows, mirrors, bathrooms, tile, tub and tile. I mean, you name it, it'll work on the surface. It's actually used as a carpet cleaning product as well. I wouldn't suggest, I would probably hesitate. Obviously, with all products, you want to try it on a little surface before you're going to use it on the whole area.
Right.
For carpets, I would say use it on that. But for granite or tile, for your everyday cleaning, it's going to work fantastic. Especially what happens is our product actually breaks down other residues and other films that other chemicals have left on there. So you're actually going to get a real clean that's going to take it down to the actual surface, and you're going to feel that smoothness of the texture. Take granite, for example. I mean, the granite is just unbelievable. You spray it on and you wipe it down, and you feel the difference just from our product or something else. So, like I said, you're just going to take that little sachet, you're going to tear it open, you're going to pour the product in, add some water, and ready to go. That's it.
I haven't. I should have done a window. that would have been a good one to do.
Well, you said you were going to do the greasy area.
I did it. Oh yes, I was. I got some, but I had. I mean, it's really pushing it for how much the grease went on, and so I'm probably going to have to do this again. So because you.
Listen. If it's a really bad area, what we do sometimes, if it's a really, obviously you get areas where it's really. To the point, it's pretty greasy.
Yeah.
So you can take one of those little green scrubby pads.
Right.
You can pick it up at the dollar store.
Uh-huh.
And just use that. And just lightly go over it. You're going to actually see the creaminess come off of it. The grease is just going to break down in front of your eyes.
That's what happened.
Oh, yeah?
That's what happened. I'm going, this thing got so dirty already. It did. But that's why I said. I wouldn't use that on the window. I'd probably use the what is it? The micro.
Microfiber cloth.
Yeah, the microfiber cloth, which is that's an in thing these days.
Yes, microfiber is a very in thing because first of all, it's reusable. Okay, this is one thing. It's a reusable product. You just take it and you throw it in your washing machine. You can just rinse it off in your sink. And it decreases the amount of paper that actually we throw out and we're going to use. Also, it actually doesn't leave any type of, like, lint or anything. When you wipe, like, let's say you're using Windex or something like that.
Right.
And you spray it on and you wipe it down with a paper towel. there's always those little white things that get on the window, right?
Right, yeah.
So the purpose of microfiber, first of all, you're not going to have that. And second of all, it's a smoother, clean, like I said, it's gonna you have the opportunity to use it again and again, and if it gets dirty, you just throw it in the wash and wash it and ready to go. So it's a very, very in thing. A lot of restaurants are doing it. There's a lot of new technologies coming out with the microfiber, and it is. It's a very, very in thing.
Well, I know that, I don't know how long it's been since I washed my windows, but there's one particular window that faces my neighbor's house, and they have a dog. And my cat likes to sit near that window, and the sun comes in that way. And I have the feeling I'm going to clean the window, and then she's finally going to see the dog and say, "What was that? That's what it was." Oh, my God, that's what's been yelling at me all this time.
What's actually interesting to say that you have a cat.
Uh-huh.
Cats, obviously, you know, they're very clean animals, but they do sometimes have accidents, I guess you would say, right?
Yep.
Our product actually works extremely well on odors, especially in urine feces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you have an area in the house that you've used other products that you just can't seem to get a smell out of, we do actually have a product specified for the pet industry. It's called UP2. And it's
UP2?
UP2.
Did you just realize that or just...
No, it was okay. We like to have fun in our industry.
Oh, okay. all right. In case I have an accident, I'll know to use that. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
So it's actually a spot and stain remover, an odor remover for the pet industry, and it works fantastic. What you're just gonna do is you're gonna make it up just like I did, just like you're gonna do with any of other products.
Mm-hmm.
You just mix it up with some water. You're gonna spray it on in the area. And you might have to let it sit for a little while because, you know, if it's a really bad saturated area, you always want to let the product sit a little longer. And obviously, if it's a bad area, you're going to do it once or twice, and that's it. And you're ready to go. And as long as there's more and more as long as there's more organic matter, our microbes and our product are actually going to eat away at that.
Wow.
So as time goes on, and every time you use your product more and more, our product more and more on the different areas, it's going to eat away at that greases or organic matter, urine crystals or whatever it is that's there, and it's going to break it down and break it down and remediate it.
I'm going to report over the weeks.
Okay.
How I'm doing, what I'm using this on, and the results. I mean, as I said, I'm also going to try this now. I know you can use it for floors, but it's. You're basically putting it into the spray bottle, so you're not,
Well, what we sent you is just a sample kit.
Right.
To get a feel of what the product can work
right.
on. But 100%, what we really do in our industry now is we're tackling a lot of different situations, greasy floors, slippery floors. Our product's basically a traction enhancement product, if you like to say. What happens is we obviously sell it in larger jars. We have three sizes. 1.5 pound jar, a 5 pound pail, and a 9 pound pail. Obviously, because we're in the food and restaurant hospitality industry,
nice.
So they obviously use larger quantities. But what you're going to do is you're just going to take a scoop of our product, 1 ounce for 5 gallons, 1 ounce for 4 gallons, whatever it is, based on the type of floor you have and how saturated or how bad the floor is. And what happens is that when floors get wet, other products leave a film or a residue on the floor. So
right.
when water gets on there, it becomes very slippery. And this is a major problem in food service industries. Slip and fall accidents. I know large companies are getting sued for this. I'm not saying our product's a non-slip when wet. What I am saying is that our product, what it does, is that it breaks down this residue and film so that when the floor does get wet, there's no opportunity to, I mean, obviously, again, we're not slip when wet, but it is a traction enhancement product and does break down those residues and film, so you're actually just walking on the actual floor.
Uh-huh.
So it helps it with the traction and all that
sure.
kind of stuff like that. So 100% you can use this on the floor. I mean, obviously, you don't have we didn't send you enough product for you to really test it on the floors, but we do have larger jars, and you would just mix that up in your regular mop bucket and just, you know, just like I said, add some powder and go, and just add some water and go.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to test it on different surfaces.
Sorry.
And I assume that one should first dust if you're going to, like, clean things, right?
You could. You can use it on your hardwood. That's not a problem if it's
mm-hmm.
dusty or anything like that. It won't harm it. Obviously, you always want, again, like I said, if you're using on like a very, like a hard, like a good finish or something like that of a nice dining room table or something like that, you always just want to just test it on a little area, hidden area, just to see how it is. Because our product does have water in it, obviously. So
right, yeah.
You just want to always be careful with that. But 100%, you can definitely use it on for dusting or cleaning or whatever surface you can play with. I mean, people call us up all the time and they're just like, did you know your product works on this? And you know your product works on that? And we're like, no.
I know the next thing I'm going to use it. I have a ceiling fan, and I have to, like, it's one of those things I got to get on a ladder, you know.
Oh, boy.
But I'm going to do it on that because I could see. I have one ceiling fan that I'm using that I could use the a vacuum with the hose. Which is not too big because that's in the living room, but the one in the kitchen, you can imagine,
yeah,
is the one that has collected kind of like the grease. And even if I take the vacuum hose to it, like, it's not moving really much.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm going to I'll have to get up there, and then that'll be what I'll use to clean it with. Then I'll have people that'll come in my house and say, "Well, it's clean. You cleaned it. The house is clean. What'd you do?"
Use the brown powder.
I got this new stuff and I wanted to try it out. So I had to go all over the house and clean everything now. And then they'll tell me all I need to do is now throw out all these things that are piling up around the house. Oh, but so what do you go to? Earthalive.com?
Earthalive.ca.
.ca.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Charlie, we're based
you're in
out
Canada.
Of...
Oh, you're in the foreign country.
Yeah, we're in Canada.
Yeah, but then
it's cold weather. I think it's -15 tonight. So
wow, is it? And here it's like 70 degrees.
Oh God.
Oh well, of course I'm in my house.
No, so our head office is in Waterloo, Quebec.
Uh-huh.
It's in the eastern townships. The president and the CEO of the company is up there, and our sales and marketing department is in Montreal.
Uh-huh.
That's where I work out of.
Oh, okay. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to be schlepping up to Montreal. I'm sorry, Montreal.
Montreal.
And yeah, in April, I think there's a press trip going up there.
Well, you definitely have to come visit it.
I'll see if I can get a side trip over to see you. But, again, everybody's earthalive.ca. And if worse comes to worse, if you don't remember, that's why they have Google. And you just put
Earth Alive. And just wanted to let you know, we are coming out with a company. We're partnering with a company that's going to be taking our product retail over the Internet. For home users.
Oh, good.
And the website for them is simplyhealthyhomes.com.
Simplyhealthyhomes.com. Okay.
And they're working to get it up and as quickly as possible. It is also going to be a chemical database and understanding how products work and what's in your shampoos and really to just help you in your everyday life to you know, benefit your life and reduce yourself from all these other chemicals that are unnecessary for yourself.
Great. That's so great to hear because, it's enough and you have to suck in all this, you know, the bad air outside.
I don't even know. I would love, just, I mean, go to the cosmetics database and just look up what's in your shampoo. It's unbelievable what you'll find. It really is.
I've changed, actually. I don't have to worry anymore, thank goodness, because I've changed to Olivier, O-L-I-V-I-E-R. Olivier soaps, which, by the way, is also in Canada, but they've been bringing it into the States.
See, all good things come out of Canada.
Yeah, that looks like I hate to say that, but it's true, because I had spoken to you about Tersano, the makers of the Lotus, and then they have things that you're basically taking water and adding oxygen in it, and that's cleaning things. I mean,
yeah, you were telling me about that.
So it's great to see these wonderful products. I guess the reason that that's coming out of Canada is because they have the health insurance, and that everybody gets health care. They figure if you're healthier, that's less that they have to pay for. That's what I think. I think that's what that's all about.
That's a good theory on that one.
well, hopefully, we'll get that health care here, and hopefully we'll get Hillary running the country. Oh, God, please, let it be.
Okay.
So, I thank you very much, Josh, for calling in.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I'll keep you updated on what I'm cleaning and the outcome of it.
Please do. Please do.
All right. Take care. Have a great evening, Josh.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, let's see. I promised you some more information about the country Egret Kramany. So it's the T. They pronounce the T by like smacking the your tongue to the roof of your mouth. So that's why it's Egret Kramany. And I'm still trying to find out where this country is located. What I'm getting is that it's a few small islands, I believe. I don't know what the population is, but I'm getting that these people, again, they're described. They have flat heads and round shoulders. They have big noses that go upwards, as opposed to, hooked, but they go upwards. But they don't seem to be very bright people. I'm not sure, it could be because in terms of where they are, maybe the access to books, or I'm going to find out, maybe, I don't know if they have if they have computers. If they have computers, that would work very well. The thing I understand that they make fun of their father-in-laws. I'll get some more. And they're tricolored because they think their myth is they've been mixed with calico cats. But I'll get back to you on this. In the meantime, so I'd like to leave everybody. Next week, we're going to start with Women's History Month. Please tune in. We got somebody calling in from the Women's Hall of Fame and the Women's National Park. So have a great evening, everybody. Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone.
I know you're the host of the show. I understand.